Mothers are great. But this morning we talk a little bit about one of my favorite mothers in the Bible, and that is Hannah. I like Hannah for a lot of reasons, but she gives me, I think, the best definition of prayer, and I maybe appreciate her as much for that as anything else. When she said she poured out her soul to the Lord, that's a fantastic definition of exactly what a prayer is, what it should be. I think that's what Jesus did in the garden. And I think that's what moms do throughout their lives as mothers. Talk to the Lord about these kids they've got. What are we going to do with these kiddos? I don't want to scare you now. Five things I want to talk about. Is that enough to keep from scaring you? I didn't say seven. The first one will only take about an hour. Daxon read the first two verses, and if you know anything about Hannah, you probably know that in the beginning she couldn't have children. Read with me a few more verses. We'll pick it up at chapter 1 of 1 Samuel, verse 3. Now this man would go up from his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests to the Lord there. And when the day came that Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and her daughters. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had closed her womb. Her rival, however, would provoke her bitterly to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. It happened year after year, as often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she would provoke her. So she wept and would not eat. And then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep and why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? And then Hannah rose after eating and drinking in Shiloh. And Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She, greatly distressed, prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. She made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come on his head. Now it came about, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli was watching her mouth. As for Hannah, she was speaking in her heart. Only her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. So Eli thought she was drunk. Then Eli said to her, How long will you make yourself drunk? Put away your wine from you. But Hannah replied, No, my Lord, I am a woman oppressed in spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant as a worthless woman, for I have spoken until now out of my great concern and provocation. And then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant your petition that you have asked of him. She said, Let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Now there's more to the story. We'll get to that in a little bit, but I just wanted to pull a few things out of what we've been told already about Hannah. Number one, Hannah was lovable. What did it say about Elkanah, her husband? He had two wives, had Peninnah. Peninnah was giving him children, sons and daughters. She was just popping them out right and left, I guess, is kind of the picture you get. Doesn't quite work that way, does it? But at any rate, that's sort of how the text presents it. But Hannah had no children, but it says specifically he loved her. And when it came time to dole out whatever was doled out, he would give to Peninnah what was her due and to her sons and her daughters what was their due. But when it came to Hannah, did you see what it said? Double portion. She was lovable. It doesn't elaborate any more on her character. I think we can see some things about her character when we read the rest of the narrative. But what do you have to be like to be lovable? What do you think it was about her that caused Elkanah to care so much about her? Because that's what love is in this context. It's caring about someone. It's having an affinity for someone. I don't know what it was, because the scriptures don't say, but I imagine perhaps there was some kindness on her part. There was some tenderness. There was some understanding. There was a strength, an inner strength, perhaps. There was something about this woman that attracted Elkanah, and he cared about her. I don't think it had much to do with her looks. I don't know if you've learned this yet about looks, but looks will only take you so far. And if you're good looking and somebody becomes enamored with you based on your looks, but you don't have a decent character, they probably won't be hanging around you very long. You'll be the quintessential, what do we call them now? Trophy wife? Well, man, that's a sorry state of affairs if your looks are all you've got going for you. I know, don't get jealous of me. I mean, I got the whole package here, I know, but I'm glad I never depended on that. And I don't think Hannah did either. She was a woman of God, and she leaned, I believe, towards God in such a way that she was loved. What's the first and greatest commandment? Well, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body. But the second's likened to it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And you and I know so well that we have people in our lives that are challenges to love. I had a friend in the service. He was a good friend and member of the church. We hung out together a lot and did a lot of crazy things. But we would say to one another, he started it, I'm sure. I only love you because Jesus said I had to. That's what guys who really love each other would say. But Elkanah didn't have to love her. He chose to love her. There was something about her. She was lovable. And so with that, I think maybe I should learn to be more lovable. Second thing about her, she was patient. And she was patient in the way that we would also use the word long-suffering. She couldn't have any children. But here was her rival, the other wife in the picture, Peninnah. And Peninnah was having children. And that would have been hard enough. But Peninnah would lord that over Hannah. She would be cruel with it. She would tease and taunt. I hope we are never guilty of anything like this in our lives. When God gives you a blessing, he means that blessing to be a blessing to you, but he also means your blessing to be a blessing to others. And that wasn't the way Peninnah was handling this. By the way, I don't know if that's how she pronounced her name. You might look at it and say Peninnah or whatever. Hopefully, one day we'll meet her and we'll find out how she really pronounces her name. But when I see how she behaved, I wonder. You ever look at somebody in the scriptures, you read about their life and their character and their behavior, and you go, I wonder if they made it. I wonder if they're among the people of the Lord. I don't want to bring a judgment here against her, but I'm just saying what's written in the text is kind of, well, she didn't seem too lovable to me. Nevertheless, there was Hannah, patient. If a mother needs any quality, she needs patience. You get those little babies, and how many times have you heard, well, they don't come with any instruction book, and they don't. But you'll get a lot of instruction. All you have to do is have a baby, and just wait. You'll get all kinds of advice, and some of it actually works. It's free and it's worth every penny. Yeah, it's true. You've got to be patient as a mother. You've got to learn to put up with a lot of things. Because when we come out of our moms, we have no discipline whatsoever. We don't know that we're not supposed to do certain things. And so that's why we have these things called diapers. You ever wonder what moms did before there were diapers? I kind of think maybe that's why kids used to play outside all the time. Go play outside. My goodness. Don't want to think about that too much, but it makes you think about the reality of being a mom. And you know how it is today with all the wonderful things we've got. We had children who were just coming out of that thing where you would use cloth diapers. We actually used some of those cloth diapers. Are there some of you here now that don't know we used to have cloth diapers? And you wrap that cloth diaper up a certain way. By the way, if you don't use them for diapers anymore, they make great cleaning rags. But you got to wrap them up a certain way, and then you got these big honking pins, big safety pins that you got to stick through them. And The sharper they are, the safer they are. If you ever go back to using those, sharpen them up, because the sharper they are, the safer they are. The sharper they are, they'll go through that cotton diaper easily, and you don't have to worry about stabbing your little one or yourself. And then when you get that cotton diaper on, what comes next? Plastic pants. Little plastic pants go on there. And what happens as soon as you get the plastic pants on? They dirty the diaper that you just worked so hard to put on them, and so you got to put another one. It's the same with the fancy ones you got today, whatever they're called, the Pampers or Cuddles. I don't know what all they are. I've used a few. I just changed one this weekend, by the way. I'd forgotten about that. By the time you get to be a grandparent, you kind of like it. I don't know. That's a weird thing. You can talk to me about that later. But patience as a mom. And then they get to that point in life where they learn to talk. You know, you hope that your children learn how to walk and to talk, and that's like the old joke. As soon as they learn how to walk and to talk, then you spend your time telling them to sit down and shut up. It's kind of like that with kids. But you want your children to learn how to talk early. You want them to learn how to walk. You want them to progress. And then they learn how to run and say, "Don't run." And they start saying things that you don't like. Back talk maybe a little bit. Patience. It takes time. It takes time to train. You put your effort and your energy into it. And Lord bless you moms who bring those little ones in here. And you're scared to death that they'll make a peep in church. Maybe we'll assign some adults to just randomly go peep. Peep. So all during church, there's somebody giving you the signal, it's okay if your kids make noise. Where better should little children be than right here with us? If they can't be accepted among the Lord's people, where can they be accepted? If we can't tolerate some noise and some youthful activity, where could we accept it? Moms, we love you, and we know it takes a lot of patience to be a good mom. And Hannah was patient, and she did not become bitter. It would have been so easy for her to be bitter and to lash out and to strike out, but she wasn't bitter. And I think Elkanah's continued favor of her showed that she did not become bitter. And she took her troubles to the Lord. That's the third point. First point was she was lovable. Second point was she was patient, long-suffering. Third point is she took her troubles to the Lord. Moms that learn to pray, they're going to do a whole lot better in life. And if you've got the kind of children that some of us have been, you will learn to pray a little faster, a little quicker, a little sooner, and a little more often, because we will challenge everything about the way you've raised us. In chapter 1, verse 9, it says, Hannah rose after eating and drinking in Shiloh, and Eli the priest was sitting by the seat of the doorpost in the temple, and she, greatly distressed, prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. When is the last time you prayed, and in the course of your prayer, you wept? This is a woman, as she will say, oppressed in spirit. It was her rival, Peninnah, who was oppressing her, but it was also the fact that she wanted children and she couldn't have a child. And why was her womb closed? The text tells us a couple of times in there. Did you catch it? The Lord had closed her womb. And then it never explains that. But I have to wonder, in this case, as in so many cases, if God doesn't put a challenge in front of us, would we not seek Him out? Why is she seeking Him out? Why is she expressing her faith in prayer? Why is she going to God in her distress? Because she has distress. Sometimes the bad things that happen to us are the greatest blessings we'll ever have in life, because those are the things that will drive us to God. You remember what Paul wrote about his thorn in the flesh? What did he do because of his thorn in the flesh? He prayed to God. It says, three times I besought the Lord. I bet he did it a lot more than that. But he recorded three times. And what answer did he get? My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. What I have to give you is going to help you make it through this troubled time. And Hannah, being a woman of faith, took her trouble before the Lord. She didn't know what was going to happen. You never do. Because God never does things in a way that you think He's going to do things. He's the great surpriser. Have you noticed that when you read through the Bible and you see what God has done through the ages? He surprises everybody. Who would have thought that the way to save mankind was to send somebody to die on a cross? And yet that's the plan. And we look at the cross, as Phil helped us to do this morning very well. You look at the cross and you see all at once the most horrible thing that's ever happened in time. And the most beautiful thing that's ever happened in the course of time is the sacrifice of Christ. God is a God of surprises. And Hannah did not know what God would do when she prayed, but she prayed. She could have said, well, it's never going to happen for me. She could have been negative. No need to pray. What's God going to do? I can't have any children. Here's Penina. She's got a bunch and I don't have any. I guess I'm just going to resign myself that things are the way they are. But she didn't do that. She prayed. So I encourage all of us, especially you young mothers, pray for your little ones. Pray for them and pray for another little one out there somewhere that's going to be their mate one of these days. Pray for their wives in the future. Pray for their future husbands. Pray for their teachers at school. Pray for everybody who's going to be in your child's life. Pray for those little ones and pray for your family, that your family might continue to be a strong, cohesive, spiritual unit in which your little ones can grow up and see faith expressed in all kinds of ways and see problems handled with faith, because every family has troubles. I know we look around sometimes, and especially on Facebook, we look on Facebook, everybody's got a perfect life but me. Look what they had for breakfast. My goodness, I want something like that. Look at that restaurant they're at. I don't know if you've ever noticed this. You can go to the nastiest greasy spoon in town and take a selfie with your buddies there, and when people see it on Facebook, that looks like some kind of an exotic, high-class place. And you're down at Tasty Burger. By the way, I like Tasty Burger. But I'm just saying that's the way it seems on Facebook. Everybody's life is better than yours. Oh, no. Walk a mile in somebody else's shoes. Why do we have that saying in our vernacular? Why do we have that expression? Because when you walk a mile in somebody else's shoes, you realize the grass isn't necessarily greener on the other side. Oh, why do we have that saying in our vernacular? Oh, because, yeah, they teach the same thing. You think everybody else's life is better than yours? And even if it was, it's their life, not yours. What are you going to do with yours? That's where Hannah was. What is she going to do with her life? She didn't go to God and complain, oh, hey, why don't you do something over here to Penina? Why don't you smack her down? Why don't you make her kids ugly? Who knows what she might have asked? But she didn't do that. She went to God and said, I am having the struggle. Can you help me? She was a woman of faith, and she took her faith to God. Number four, she took courage in her faith. When Eli told her, as he did in verse 17, go in peace, may the God of Israel grant your petition that you have asked of him. That's all he said. There's no other elaboration for any more words. That's all he said. But what did she do? She said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and she ate, and her face was no longer sad. For years, she's been watching Penina have these children. For years, it said they would come year after year to worship, and Penina would provoke her. But she's found a turning point. She's prayed, and a man of God has given her a word, and it's a turning point for her. She's took courage in her faith. Have you noticed the world's a mess? It's not likely to get much better. I hope it does, but I don't know. I don't see it. Aren't you thankful that God has given you the privilege of being a citizen of heaven? Because this world will end, and if your citizenship is in heaven, as God has given it to us, we've got a place waiting for us. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands how many are just looking forward to being there. But aren't we? She took courage in her faith, and she knew that what was promised was going to be a blessing to her, and she went on her way, and she wasn't sad anymore. We ought to walk out these doors this morning, no matter what's facing us in life. I know a lot of things are facing a lot of different folks in a lot of different ways, but we ought to be able to find joy in God, find joy in Christ. If there was a way we could look around in this crowd this morning and see the heartaches that each of us hold, that would be a somber thing to see. It would break all of our hearts to see how others are hurting, like you are possibly hurting this morning. And yet God is the one who comes to say, I'm going to make it so you can go on your way and be sad no more. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. But what's the next thing he said after saying that? Be of good cheer. Why? Because he has overcome this world. And that's the challenge that mothers have, to overcome this world in the rearing of their children. You do it through faith. Number five. How many were we going to talk about this morning? Seven. Okay. Troublemaker in here. Well, we are finishing up kind of early, so maybe I'll just add a few more. Maybe I won't. Number five. What'd she do? She kept her commitment. She had a child. Who was that child? Well, duh, we're reading 1 Samuel. It's Samuel. How important did Samuel become in the plan of God to bring Israel around to righteousness? He was the last good judge. He anointed Saul, the first king of Israel, and then he anointed David, who was a man after God's own heart, the one who would sit upon the throne and God would promise him, I'm going to build you a house. And from David's loins would eventually come Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Samuel. Where did Samuel come from? Came from Hannah. Hannah, who couldn't have any children until she prayed to the Lord. And God said, all right, Hannah, I will now open your womb and I'm going to give you Samuel. But what was her deal with God, if you want to call it a deal? She vowed a vow. She said, if I have a child, I'm going to commit him to you. And that's exactly what she did. Boy, that's a challenge for all parents. Before your children are even born, commit them to God. Commit to teach them the word of God. Commit to show them in your life the way of God. Commit to bring them to the worship of God. Commit to bringing them among God's people so they can see other people, men and women of God. I remember as a young man, my father died at a young age. And so my mom would continue to bring me to church all the time. It's the old thing. When the doors were open, we were there. That's the way my mom was. And I never thought to ask, do I have to go? Because I knew I was going. And when I went, it wasn't just about being in church. When I went, I saw other men who were godly men. My dad had died, but I had all kinds of dads at church. I had all kinds of brothers. I had all kinds of uncles. I saw men who prayed to God and who when I heard their prayers, and these guys were sincere, they're real. This isn't some fake religious thing that these guys are doing. I saw godliness lived out among the people of God because my mom was getting me among the people of God. I saw women who taught me lessons that I never could have learned. We went to some friend's house one evening, and it was just kind of a impromptu thing, and she was getting out all of these leftovers that she had to feed us. She wasn't too proud to have her house perfect when we came in. This wasn't any Home and Gardens place. It was a great home. And she was getting out all these leftovers, sitting them on the table. And as she was putting them out there, she said, well, it's not much, but it's what we got to feed you. And then she backed up and she said, now, why did I say that? All of this is good food that God has given us, and we're glad to share it with you. I was just a child, and I remember hearing her say that, thinking, what a great expression of faith. What a great expression of gratitude. I never would have learned that if God, or if Mom hadn't put me among people who were godly people. Those are the kinds of things that your children need to hear. Those are the kinds of things that your children need to see. And so when you do what you've done this morning, and you bring your children into this group of people, wow. Hannah kept her commitment, and I see you keeping yours. And it turned out in a great way for Samuel and for Israel. And your children will also bless this nation. I have every confidence as we keep the faith in Christ. Well, that's the lesson for this morning. I hope these 5 points about Hannah have encouraged you. They're good points, and there are other things to talk about with regard to her. But this morning, The question will be for all of us. Are we lovable? Are we lovable? Are we patient? Not just the moms, but all of us. Are we willing to take our troubles to God? Are we willing to take courage in our faith in the midst of this difficult and dark world? And are we going to follow through with our commitments? Those are the five questions that come to us just from reading about Hannah. So as we stand to sing the invitation song this morning, if you need to respond to the gospel call of Christ, if you need prayers, we're just waiting to hear from you this morning. Make it a good Mother's Day. Come down here in front of your mom and show her how much you love the Lord. Let's stand and sing.